Greetings, everyone, and welcome to home. Today's a little bit different because the southerly winds have come up, and it would make it a little bit difficult to do the recording out in the bush, but hopefully next week we'll be back to the bush, but we'll see what happens. Well, today, I want to remember the Lord through the Lord's Supper. But first, I want to start with something that John the Baptist said. John was busy doing the things that he did as people came to him and they wanted to be baptized. And right in the middle of the things that he was doing, he looked off into the crowd and he saw someone, and I'm sure he got excited, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Everyone started looking around. Where is he? The Lamb? God's Lamb? Where is he? Well, you may not understand what John said, but everyone that was around on that day, they fully understood that the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb of God, is the only way that they could approach God, and that was through the Old Testament. So, listen to John's words again. "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." In other words, listen, folks, look, there he is, there's God's Lamb. Well, what does that have to do with communion? Well, the truth is, the Lamb of God has everything to do with the Lord's Supper. And this morning, I would like to show you that. But we're going to have a word of prayer, but let me encourage you, if you would like to join in communion with us today, to push the pause button and go off and get you a piece of bread or some juice or something to drink and come back. And at the end of this message, I'll lead you in the Lord's Supper and we'll enjoy that together. But first, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come to the folks that are listening and watching. Lord, I pray that you would use this for your glory and help us to better understand what communion is all about, and in a much greater way, understand who Jesus is all about and what he did for us and why that's so significant even today. So Lord, guide us, use us, and I pray that you would touch somebody today that might be struggling, that could use that assurance of who Jesus is and how much he loves them and what he did for them. So be with us today, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's get into our story, but you might want to notice also that we've had a visitor join the room. This is Charlie, our cavoodle, and he wanted to set in. Well, it's at home, and this is his home, so he wanted to be a part of what's going on. All right, so what does John mean by, "Behold the Lamb of God"? And what does it have to do with communion? Well, first, a little Jewish history. Well, don't worry, I'm not going to get into all the historical details, but we'll just get a brief overview of what we need. Go with me back to the land of Egypt. Israel was in bondage, and the Egyptians were getting more and more paranoid. Poor old Pharaoh, he was bad about that. And he saw the Jews getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and he was afraid the Jews were going to come in and conquer him, so he tried to destroy them, and he turned up the slavery, and it got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and he turned up the demands on the Jews, and life got really, really, really hard. The Jews began to call out to God, and so much so that God heard, responded, and Moses was on the backside of the desert, and God tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Come on, Moses, I need you to do something for me." Moses goes back to Egypt, confronts Pharaoh, and tells him to turn the Jews loose. And you know what? Pharaoh was one of those bullheaded men who says, "You don't tell me what to do." So God begins to send catastrophes along. Just Pharaoh, his heart gets harder and harder and harder, and finally, God sends along the big stick. And that big stick was when the death angel came, and he took out of all the took out all the firstborn of the whole land. But he told Israel, listen, on the night that the death angel comes, what I want you to do is to kill a pure white lamb. And I want you to take its blood. I know, that's kind of gory. It's something that happened way back then. We don't do it anymore. But take the blood of that and put it on the doorposts of the door. And if you'll do that on the night the death angel comes, he will pass over your house. So do you get the Passover? Well, that's where it comes from. Well, this one major catastrophe finally broke Pharaoh. And he told the Jews, hit the road, take off. I'm through with you. Get out of here. After 400 years of Egyptian bondage and slavery, the might of God finally set the Jews loose. And he protected them through the blood of a sacrificial lamb. Now, fast forward 1,300 years, give or take a few years, and John sees Jesus and he says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Do you see the parallel there? Well, fast forward just about three more years. Jesus and his followers, as any good Jews would do, they were preparing for the Passover meal. They go into an upper room and they sit down for the Passover. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us detail by detail of what happened at the Passover and even the Lord's Supper. This is where the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. But John doesn't say a word about the details of the Lord's Supper. It's kind of interesting. But I believe, this is my opinion, that John wanted to give us another much more personal look at that night. So go with me to John 13 and let's see what Jesus said, recorded by John, around the Passover meal and the Lord's Supper. Now John writes in chapter 13, during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hand, that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. Now listen closely. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was around him. What an amazing scene for Jesus, the Son of God, to wash his followers' feet. By washing his followers' feet, he breaks down human arrogance and Christian pride, and he shows his followers that humility holds the greatest importance in the things that he was going to do. Boy, we all need to remember that. Humility is the key to Christianity. Listen, there is nothing more humbling than bowing down and washing the feet of someone else. And Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God himself, did just that. In just a few minutes, Jesus gives his followers the one all-consuming command that we all know, but sometimes we find so hard. Verses number 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. And by this one thing alone, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Wow, that's amazing. But that's what defines a Christian, if they have true love one for another. And love is so strong, it would push you to wash someone else's feet. You see, the self-centeredness of our culture knows nothing about this kind of love and humility. And that's why everyone needs to follow Jesus, learn about him, and become more like him. Then Jesus goes on, and John records that Jesus gives us the clearest picture of heaven found anywhere in the Bible, and that was John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He paints a picture of heaven, and then he said, I'm going to make that, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to get you and take you home with me. That points to his second coming, which is still future. Then he promises something that is so important today. It's a peace that our world doesn't understand. John records, peace, this is Jesus speaking. Peace I'll leave with you. Not my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Boy, that's something we all need to remember, particularly right now. Then he shows the power of just hanging out closely with him when he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. These are the things that John records that Jesus taught around the Lord's Supper. This wasn't just a supper. This was a teaching session where the most important teachings from Christianity were presented. And shortly thereafter, he tells about the coming of the Holy Spirit, which he calls the Helper, and we all need help. And then he prays for himself, he prays for the disciples, and he prays specifically for you and for me. Yes, Jesus prays for you and me. And this all took place around the Lord's Supper. Finally, John moves on to the most significant event and the most atrocious event in human history. And that's the crucifixion. Let's have a look at that now. The crucifixion. Jesus is arrested, tried, convicted in a kangaroo court, beaten, a crown of thorns placed on his head, mocked, made fun of, and nailed on a cross. Now, John even hints that at the moment that Jesus said, "It is finished," that was the exact moment that the Jewish priest was supposed to sacrifice the lamb in the temple. That exact same moment, Jesus died, not only for the Jews, but for the whole world, and that includes you and me. So you see, John connected Jesus, the Lamb of God, with the sacrificial lamb of Passover. In a real sense, Jesus fulfilled the Jewish Passover and with his blood paid the price for our sin once and for all. It's a done deal. When Jesus said it is finished, it was finished completely. But what does that mean to us? Let's go back to the Jews that just walked out of Egypt. God set them free from Egypt, and statisticians and historians say there was about 1 million people walked out of Egypt. And God supernaturally protected them through the desert all the way to the promised land through all kinds of miracles. It was amazing the things that he did. Well, let's apply that to us. When we accept Jesus, God can look after us in the same way. He's not any weaker today than he was then. His ability is not limited. He's willing to help and assist us through the Holy Spirit all the way to heaven, which is our promised land. So you see, when we observe communion, we're remembering the life of Jesus. We're remembering his life, people he touched, the things that he did. the things that he taught, which we've just looked at. We remember his death and his sacrifice, where he completed redemption and the ability to be brought back to God the Father. Now, you can see just how this connects, the Lord's Supper connects with the Jewish Passover. In a real sense, just like the Jews, they could walk free from years of slavery, but you and I can walk free from the constraints and the bondage of our own sin and be set free living in Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and not just the world, but mine and yours, if we will trust him. The Lamb of God is what communion is all about. So, join with me in a few moments of communion. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians, where Paul records the details about communion. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" Now listen to this. "Do this in remembrance of me." Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his magnificence and his holiness. Lord, help us at this moment to remember him. Now Paul continues, "In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Father, thank you for the cup, the juice that reminds us of the blood that Jesus shed. He was the sacrificial lamb. He died for us. And what we're doing here just allows us to remember the sacrifice that he gave for our sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the Apostle Paul says, "For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And we'll keep doing this until the day he returns." Father, thank you for this chance to talk about communion and the wonderful things that Jesus did for us. May we worship him. He is worthy of our praise. May we praise him and honor him. May we bow before him and give him the love and adoration that he so deserves. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you for freedom in Christ. Thank you for the promise of heaven. Thank you for the peace that no one can even understand. Thank you. We ask these things in and through the name of Jesus. Amen.